Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
So, what do we think we know about the situation with the burned out car and the three-year-old? We'll go over some of the facts that have been reported and your interpretation of those facts that have been reported. And, nobody knows exactly right now for sure what happened. I will tell you that we do know as a fact that there were two dead people found inside the burned car, and it wouldn't surprise me in the least to find out that both of the skulls had entrance wounds of bullets to the back of the skull. Wouldn't surprise me in the least to find that out. It is 9 minutes after 4 at News Radio 930 WBEN. And again, if you're just joining us late, I think one of the most interesting parts about this is why a living witness, even at 3 years old, was allowed to walk away from the scene of what apparently was a double murder. If this had been a cartel-style hit, nobody would have been left alive. They couldn't give a damn if it's a three-year-old or an infant. They're going to die because the cartel is not going to leave a living witness even at the age of three. So for some reason, that little boy is still alive. And what is the most likely reason the little boy is still alive? Because somebody didn't want to kill the kid. Somebody was willing enough to take a chance that the kid would be unable to verbalize what had happened and let that kid live. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. What is your thinking on this? Here is Carol in Kenmore. What do you make of what we think we know?
Hi, Tom. Well, I was kind of interested in what Dan said. I think it's kind of a good possibility that the father of this child is the one who did the shooting. But what I'm calling about is nobody mentioned it.
But why would you say the father, just out of curiosity?
I don't know why the friend would have such an affinity for this child to let it live, but the father would. So that just makes sense to me. And that the child would go willingly with the father.
Of course, if this family friend had traveled up from Florida with the mother and the father, it wouldn't be a stranger situation.
No, but still, if you saw something happen to your parents, I don't know. I just think it's a good possibility. But what I was calling about is when the grandmothers first came to town. This is before they had identified male or female bodies in the car. It was just bodies. The grandmothers had first come to town to claim this little boy. The one was quoted in the papers referring to the parents in the past tense. And she said they were good parents and they were not good people. And I noticed in today's paper, in a different quote from them, they were referring to them in the present tense.
Mm-hmm.
I just found that kind of unusual. Not that the grandmothers are involved in it, but they may very well have known what these guys were doing for a living.
And there's also the transgender issue, which I haven't even raised until now.
I hadn't thought about that. I don't know.
Now, its relevance or lack of relevance to this, I have no idea. But the fact that the two skulls, it would not surprise me when people find out that there were entrance wounds in the backs of both of the skulls. You know, generally, if you are a married couple, you sit in the first two seats. You know, you sit in the front seats, and any guest would sit behind you.
True.
Typically.
That's very true. I was also interested to see that it was in a rented vehicle. And one of the grandmothers said that they took advantage of the unlimited mileage to come to Buffalo. I've never heard of an unlimited mileage deal on a rented car.
Oh, I get them all the time.
Do you really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
That's my first question before I rent a car. How many miles? Unlimited? Oh. Good. Sold.
Could drive cross country.
Nope. Yeah. Well, and you know, the fact that... you know, the fact that a three-year-old was present, you know, I was thinking about this. If you're muling drugs, if you're a single guy, I don't have the statistics in front of me on this, but if you're a single guy driving along with Florida plates, that, I'm guessing, is going to draw a little more attention than a couple complete with a little kid and maybe a friend.
Absolutely. The minute I heard that there could be a connection between the kid and them, I figured it had something to do with drugs, and I figured the kid is something to make them look more normal and less suspicious.
What do you make of the 4.4 pounds of cocaine? And by the way, the $200,000 figure I said earlier, that is an absolute lowball figure. That is not even counting the purity of the product, how it would be cut. It could actually have a street value far in excess of $200,000. I said at the time that was a low ball estimate. So why would somebody leave that much blow behind in a hotel room?
That's an excellent question, because, you know, you can wear a disguise and go pick it up here in and out. I mean, they planned this pretty well. You'd think that they could plan getting the stuff back pretty well, too. I mean, that's a lot of money to leave.
Of course, a security camera would reveal that whoever entered the room to pick up the missing cocaine had a key, because you would see them putting the key into the door and then, opening the door and then presumably leaving the room shortly thereafter.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
And if you have a key, that would indicate that you had, it would indicate that you had access to the victims or access to the room, previous access to the room.
True, but why would you care? Wouldn't you be long gone by now, by then? I mean, you go in, you get it, and you leave. You blow town. I mean, why would you hang around?
Well, I mean, I would think that if you knew, and this is a question that I'm asking, and I don't have the answer. If you knew that there was 4 pounds of cocaine in a cooler in a hotel room in Cheektowaga, why would you not go get it?
Good question. I can't imagine that they wouldn't. Anybody wouldn't. Whether it's the father of this kid or whether it's the friend of this family, why would anybody leave it there?
My best guess is because you wouldn't want to be picked up on security cameras going back to a room they had rented after they had been killed.
Well, true. Yeah, because this way, I suppose they don't know who's dead and who's not. Although eventually, they're going to know if it's the husband or not.
Oh, absolutely. It might take a while, given the job that gasoline did on those bodies. Because if it had burned another hour or so, there might not have been any detectable human remains.
Yeah, true that.
Yep. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call. I mean, whoever lit that fire knew what they were doing. Whoever ignited that car knew how to do it for maximum damage. Keep that in mind. Here is Doug in Albion on WBEN. Doug, what's your take on all this?
Tom, something that hit me the first morning when you guys reported it, it was on your station. It was an interview with the grandparents. Not you guys did the interview, but it was a clip that you guys played. And the grandparents had talked about that they had a custody case, that they were going to get this kid in a couple days as it was. And I've never, ever heard that talked about again. And there's just something strange to me with the connection of the grandparents and knowing that this kid was going to be handed over to the grandparents anyway in a couple days. Evidently, they had won the custody case, and they were supposed to get custody of the kid in like 2 or 3 days. And I've never heard anybody talk about that again. It's never been on the news again.
Yeah, if you want to copy and paste that information and send it to me, Tom, at WBEN.com, so I don't have to go looking around the internet for it, you're more than welcome to do that.
It was just an audio clip that you guys played of the grandmother. It was, I think, Tuesday morning, or was it Monday night that this happened?
I mean, look, it's tough to judge people from audio cuts and little snippets of voice, but the grandparents all seem like really decent folks.
They do, but I didn't understand the if there's any angle whatsoever, maybe the grandparents knew that their parents were drug mules and they were they won a custody case to take the kid away. But it seemed like it almost seems to me like if they had won this custody case and they were going to get the kid in a couple days, it almost seemed a little bit like maybe the parents were taken off with the kid.
That the parents were taken off with the kid, but if the parents were taken off with the kid, they made frequent road trips, and 4 pounds of cocaine is found in a cooler in your hotel room, does that indicate taking off with a kid, or does the regular road trips and the 4 pounds of cocaine indicate that they might have been in a different business?
Yeah, good point. Good point. But again, it just
I mean, take the cocaine out of the equation, and your theory, you know, might, I think, have some more legs. And you could actually be right. I don't know that I'm right. Yeah, I don't know that you're wrong. I have no idea.
It just is funny. It never popped back up again. That audio clip was never played again. And no one ever mentioned anything that the grandparents were going to get this kid anyway.
What do you make of the gas cans? Because the person walking toward the car doesn't look like he's carrying gas cans.
And I'm curious as to whether the family had any connection up here.
For a while, one of the missing lived in Webster outside of Rochester.
Okay. Because the only thing, it's just kind of my warped way of thinking was that maybe the grandparents, out of some sort of desperation, took this kid. Or they made it that the parents weren't going to be able to keep them from getting the kid.
Well, that's pretty serious what you're saying, and that would also presuppose that the grandparents somehow got 4 pounds of cocaine into their hotel room.
Well, this day and age, these people were what, in their 20s?
Yes, they were very young.
So their parents were probably in their 40s or maybe in their early 50s, and quite frankly, Tom, that's, you know, kind of our age group, and I don't find it uncommon for people of our age group to be involved in this crap.
Yeah, but I don't know many people who are going to leave hundreds of thousands of dollars of cocaine around. I mean, a few grams would have done the job.
But if it's not your coke to begin with.
Which raises the question, how do you get the coke?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and look, if this, thank you, by the way, for the call. If this proves to be some spontaneous robbery of cocaine, whoever did this crime is going to be chased by both the law and by the distributor in Florida whose cocaine and whose money it was. There will be no safe place in the world for that individual, provided this was an unsanctioned hit done against people who had yet to compensate the distributor for what they had run up to the north. I mean, it's a dirty, grisly business. You know, I was thinking about one of the fellas said in one of the phone calls about this maybe being a love triangle situation. And the reason that doesn't make sense to me is in those kinds of situations, it is highly unusual to introduce a fourth person into it, a fourth grown-up into it. You know, those crimes of passion tend to not bring in people from the outside unless there is a pre-existing connection between the person walking away from the van and the person walking toward the van. As the police have said, this is a very complex case. But as details leak out, we'll have a much better sense and understanding of what actually happened. But I just, you know, again, I can't get a couple of things out of my mind. The fact that the kid was allowed to live, I think that's a huge piece of information. The fact that I think you're going to learn that the two dead people in the van had bullet holes in the backs of their skulls, I think that is important. The proficiency with which the car was burned, I think that is important. Whoever did this knew exactly what they were doing. They couldn't have done a better job. And as I've said, I've been told that had that fire gone another hour, there wouldn't have been any remains on which to do any forensics. So whoever did this knew what they were doing, but where was the gasoline? Was it stored in the van, or was it pre-positioned at what was supposed to have been an ambush site or a crime scene site? I don't know the answer to that. Let's go back to the calls, find out what you guys have to say. Here's Blanche in Niagara Falls on WBEN. Hello. Oh, Blanche. Blanche is not with us. Blanche has apparently blanched. Here's Robert in Kenmore on WBEN. Hello.
Oh, yes. Hello. All right. I heard in the news, I heard that there's three adults here involved and, of course, the young little kid. In the news, they said that the not the father, not the mother, but the third gentleman, his relative, his brother down in Florida, wanted to know if his sister was still alive. He's referring to that third man. It was mentioned that he was a transvestite.
Now, transgender, I believe, would be the proper word.
I beg your pardon?
Transgender, I believe, would be the proper word, just to avoid any improprieties here.
More about this, but you'll have to forgive me.
That's quite all right.
Your help. I need your help as we go along here, because I think you're right on it. I think this thing is just about solved, except they haven't got them yet. But we know who they are, I think, and I'll tell you why. Another thing, well, the news item said that he was having an affair with the mother. That would give the father a motive to get rid of them both. But for a couple hundred thousand, is that the case, Tom? Was it a couple hundred thousand worth of drugs?
Well, we don't know how much cocaine, if any cocaine, was in the van. All we know is that 4.4 pounds of...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Cocaine was in a cooler in the hotel room in Cheektowaga, and that would be worth a minimum, and it would be a lot more. I'm just giving you the bottom line minimum of $200,000. After being cut, after being enveloped and packaged, you're looking at a lot more than $200,000.
Okay, but recently I heard on the TV, I can't tell you right now what news, but there is another cooler in that room that was empty. So we could be talking about a lot more drugs.
Oh, we could be talking about substantially more drugs that were stolen.
Yes, but and they might have come into the city, left that cooler full at their room, and came in to unload the another batch. Maybe they had other people besides one source that they were going to dump on, or whatever the terminology. But the point I wanted to make is that you have three adults, and I heard from the very beginning two bodies, and then a couple days later they verified that two bodies in the car. So we got one adult and a little guy that are missing from the car. We know where the little guy is. Now there's two people running.
And you know, I've got to take a break. I want to hear what you have to say, but I have to take a break. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get to as many calls as we possibly can. I've been trying to do that lately for you at News Radio 930 WBEN. Yeah, your take on the case of the burned-out car in Buffalo and the little boy who was found wandering. And, you know, again, folks, I don't mean to overemphasize stuff, but the fact that an apparently communicative 3-year-old child was allowed to walk away from that car, presumably with people involved in the deaths of the two adults in that car, tells me something about there being a relationship, a bond, or a fondness between the 3-year-old boy and at least one of the adults the boy is leaving the scene with. There was a reason that kid isn't dead. If this had been a cartel robbery, if this had been a run-of-the-mill cocaine robbery crime, people who do those have no soul, and they would think nothing of killing a 3-year-old. Why leave a living witness? So whoever let that kid live made a decision that it would be better for their conscience to let the kid live and maybe talk depending on what the kids had seen or not seen, than to deal with the guilt of killing a kid. There's a reason that kid is still alive. There's also a reason they disrobed the kid. The kid was disrobed in all likelihood to do away with traces of fiber and DNA evidence, which would have put somebody in close contact with that kid right around the time of the fire in that vehicle. And do not be surprised at all, and I'll pull a Rush Limbaugh, do not doubt me. I think you're going to learn that both of the adults dead in that car, the skulls have entry wounds in the back of the head. I mean, to me, analyzing what I think we know about the facts so far of this case, I believe somebody in the back seat killed the two people in the front seat as part of a cocaine robbery, and arrangements had been made for an accomplice to walk to the scene and leave from the scene. I think this was a cocaine robbery. Was the robbery, and you know, there's another way of looking at this, folks. And again, I'm postulating, all right? If I know something, I'll tell you I know it. If I strongly believe something or have very good reason to strongly believe something, I'll let you know it, like about the bullet wounds to the skulls that nobody else is talking about. A lot of this is just conjecture. But if this was a sanctioned hit by the distributor in Florida, that's a little bit different in the drug world than if this, whoever robbed the drugs out of the van, and I presume there were drugs in the van because there was 4 pounds of blow in the hotel room, if they did it and they burned the drug dealer in Florida, they've got bigger problems than the FBI, the DEA, or the Buffalo Police Department. Believe me, if this was an unsanctioned hit, you probably have people within that organization already on the trail of the people they believe ripped them off. And if you don't know that business, not a lot has changed since Scarface with Al Pacino was made back in the 1970s. It's absolutely a ruthless business. It involves billions of dollars. Let's go back to Robert in Kenmore. Robert on WBEN, thanks for holding.
Oh, Tom, I think you're really close to solving this thing, the whodunit here.
I'm nowhere close to solving it. I'm just offering some theories as to the most probable.
I think you got it. The two males running from the scene with the boy. If you take now the one male that's running with the boy, that's not the first time. I've got kids and grandkids. That's not the first time that man ran with that kid holding his hand. They were no strangers to each other. And if you take his profile, which I'm sure the FBI and the authorities will do, and they get a profile from the video, and then they get the profiles from the three that came up, adults came up, I think you're going to find that the father's profile fits the one that's holding the boy and running from the scene. Now, the other guy in the video, and he appears to me to be a bigger black male with a bald head. Now, he's going to disguise his head by throwing that sweater or whatever over the top of it.
Yeah, and he stopped right in front of the surveillance camera. He couldn't have picked the worst place to stop.
That infrared. And that's where the owner really comes through with this thing. Because they knew they were under a camera, but they didn't think they could be seen in the dark.
I don't think they knew it. Otherwise, there's no way that people who were this professional to do that kind of damage to a car, who had set up this kind of a hit, there is no way they saw that security camera. There's no way he would have stopped where he did.
All right, let's say that other adult, let's say he was the purchaser of the drugs. And he teams up with the father to bump the other two off. I believe they were dead before they ever got on that property. I believe that they stopped and got gas along with two dead adults in the car, and they went back there and torched the car. And I believe the father, why could he leave a three-year-old son on the porch? Well, one of your callers tells us about that he understood that there was what do you call it, case to take over the kid?
Custody, but even, but you know what, paternal love, and I'm going to generalize, in the Hispanic community, family is everything. And it, you know, I can no more imagine a Hispanic dad leaving his son to fend for himself in a strange neighborhood in a strange city than I can an old school Italian father doing the same thing. The bonds of family run very deep in the Hispanic community.
He knew the grandparent was going to have custody of the kid as soon as it came out on the news.
And I understand that, but I can't imagine a father, even one who is possibly going to lose custody. I can't imagine a father doing that to a kid.
Well, don't tell me those parents or grandparents didn't know that they were involved in drugs.
It's very interesting. Some people in this world are very naive when it comes to things like that. Some people are willingly naive, and some people are just blindly naive. And they strike me, and maybe I'm just not a good judge of character. The grandparents all strike me as being decent people.
All right, I agree with you 100%. But now take that second adult running from the scene. Let's suppose he's the one that was going to buy the drugs. Now you don't have $200,000 or so. You got $400,000 because he keeps the cash, and they have the drugs too. Now, if he's a distributor, don't tell me that those people that he distributes to aren't going to recognize him in the video. He had a kind of one of those rectangular, elongated heads.
Yes, yes.
You agree with me?
I agree with the idea that if this hit was not sanctioned by the person from whom the people in the van got their drugs, these people who pulled this murder have bigger worries than the DEA.
Well, that buyer, I believe he's the one that wasted them, not the father of the kid. I think the dirty work was done by the guy. They worked it out. And the father wasn't going to have to kill the girlfriend and the transgender there.
Yeah, I mean, and as far as the whole transgender thing, that is a layer of complexity to the case, and I have no idea as to its relevance. I don't know if the couple was mutually sexually involved with the transgender person. I have no idea what the nature of that relationship was. Was it a menage a trois? I mean, there are a lot of people in this world with some unusual fetishes. Nothing surprises me anymore.
Tom, the report that I heard that brought up the transgender deal said that he was having, or she was having, an affair with the mother. Now, that would be, now this guy's, and if there was extra drugs in the cooler, you could be talking about $1 million here. $1 million makes it worthwhile for him to disappear off the face of the earth. He knows the kid's going to be safe with the grandparents. Somebody on the network said that they were just a couple days off from having custody. But
if the mother is the linchpin in this, where is she? Because I do not believe that is a woman running away from that fire on that video.
You got me wrong. There's two men running away, the father and the buyer.
Right. So, in other words, why was the woman, in your scenario, why was the woman killed?
Transgender, you said.
Well, no, I'm talking about the woman, the woman who gave birth to the little boy.
She was in the car. She's dead.
Right. So if this was a love triangle involving the transgender and the woman, why is the woman dead?
The father knocked them both off. Well, he didn't pull the trigger. I believe you're probably right. There's probably a couple bullet holes in the back of the head. But I believe they were dead before they got in that backyard.
I believe. Well, they were. Okay, here's what I will tell you. I'm really sure they were dead before that fire started.
Sure.
And it's obvious that somebody wanted them dead. And look, sir, anybody who has this love triangle idea or a possible sexual motive involved in this, you may very well not be too far from the ballpark. That might very well be part of what is going on here. It might have been that one or both of the parents were sexually involved with the transgender. I mean, it gets very confusing when you start talking about transgender and couples hanging out together. Like I say, different people get their freak on in different ways. What do you want me to say?
Yes, but Tom, are you getting to the point where you think the father was the one that ran away with the boy?
No, that is not what I believe.
Really?
I won't say exactly what I believe, but what I do know is there are three people missing, and I think it is typical when you are with your woman that you sit in the front seats with your woman and a passenger is generally in the back, and I'm going to tell you that I think you're going to hear that there are bullet entrance wounds in each of the skulls of the bodies that were in that vehicle. I suspect it's the parent. As far as who did the shooting, well, who am I to say? I couldn't make an accusation on the air.
You're assuming that they were killed in the car.
Every bit of information has pointed me in that direction. I don't make that assumption blindly.
With both of being alive.
Just understand, I don't make that assumption blindly. I've obviously talked to some people about this, and I've gotten some information, and some of it I'm holding back.
All right. Another thing, too, is tell me there aren't a half a dozen cameras from Tonawanda and Niagara Street by the bend that I've heard you refer to.
And you know what? And the Buffalo police detectives have done a masterful job canvassing that area, and nobody's got anything that is of any help so far.
You heard that?
Yep. None of those business owners have been able to help at all. Which leads me to believe that there was another vehicle used in the getaway. Remember, the kid was found about a half mile away from the scene of the burned-out car. Robert, you raised some great points, and I'm glad you called in. And don't short-sell your own thinking, because you might very well be right, and I might very well be wrong. Who am I to say who's right and who's wrong? I might know a couple of things, but you could be right. And Antonio Brown has been cut by the New England Patriots, much to the delight of Phil Kennedy in the next room. So what is your take on the situation involving that poor three-year-old boy? And I will just tell you that that three-year-old boy, I believe, is one of the biggest keys to this entire case. And I believe that that boy represents a danger to the perpetrators of this crime. And I hope that that boy is under 24/7 police protection, because even though the boy is 3 years old, I want you to think about when you were 3 years old, or if you've got a three-year-old grandkid or a three-year-old child. Three-year-olds can talk, and pitchers have ears. And that three-year-old may very well be able to provide a lot of information to the police and represents a danger to the perpetrators of the crime, and therefore needs to be completely protected. Let's go to Ann in Lockport on WBEN. And prayers, by the way, for that little boy. Let's go to Ann in Lockport on WBEN. Ann, what do you think's going on here?
Hi, Tom. I really like your show. You make my day. I think that when I heard about the cocaine, I thought it was a mule situation from Florida, but my take on leaving the little three-year-old alive, I kind of think maybe are they sending a message to some people in the family or friends?
No, the way you send a message is to waste everybody. In my opinion, keeping the three-year-old, you asked for my opinion, I'm going to give it to you, okay? Keeping the three-year-old alive indicates to me that the people doing this crime had a bond with that child that precluded them from pulling the trigger and killing the child. They couldn't do the kid.
I don't agree, because I think maybe there's friends or family involved with this, and maybe it was easier to identify who was in the car and send a message that way.
But what message do you send by letting somebody walk away who is verbal enough to give the police clues that could lead to your apprehension?
A three-year-old can't say anything.
I beg to differ. I'm sorry. I'm sure you're a mom, I'm a father, and three-year-olds can say plenty.
I don't think that they could have anything to stand up in court against anybody.
They can certainly provide leads that can be corroborated by the police with physical evidence and other items of probative value in court.
Well, I don't agree a three-year-old could come up with that.
A three-year-old, okay, I completely disagree. A three-year-old, a living witness, even at the age of three, is better than no living witness at any age. There will be limitations, obviously, but being 3 years old, I'm sorry. I remember being three, being very verbal. I remember my kids at 3 years old. They were very verbal. And we used to say around the house, pitchers have ears. In other words, be careful what you say, because even the 2 and 3 year olds will pick up on it. So I respectfully disagree with you on that. I think the 3 year old as a living witness is very, very important. And the fact that the kid was allowed to live is very important. Remember what I told you earlier, folks, in a crime or a mystery situation, sometimes it ain't so much what you see, it's what doesn't happen as what does happen. Remember that.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.